today. So I'll call the meeting to order and we'll start with a roll call.
Maribel Alvarez.
Present.
Vanessa Gallego.
Present.
Trey Devon Rhodes.
Present.
Ed Hendel.
Present.
Robert Jaramillo.
Present.
Raquel Abel. You have quorum.
All right, thank you. And I'm told that the minutes from the September 23rd meeting are still being transcribed, so we will approve those at next week's meeting in addition to the minutes from today's meeting. So on to item 3 is a call to the audience, and I don't see anyone, so we can go ahead and skip that. If people come, we could try to have a call to the audience at the end, but for now, we'll skip that and move straight on to item 4. Discussion and possible action regarding our recommendation to the mayor and council. So just kind of building off of last week. So the goal for today is to get a letter, get the pieces for a letter finalized and make our recommendation. Then the staff has generously agreed to actually write the letter for us. And then we will convene again a week from today to vote on the letter, the final draft of the letter, and sign it, and then we'll be all done. You know, in theory, if something comes up and we need more meetings, that's not, we don't have to rule that out right now, but that is the current roadmap, and we'll see if we can stick to that. So I guess I'll just open it up for discussion if anyone has, you know, thoughts on what the contours of the letter should be. At last week's meeting, we talked about you know, starting the process earlier, maybe even as early as 2026. We're thinking maybe better to do it in an even numbered year, so it's not an election year, so there would be, you know, less potential for people to see it as kind of a trying to move things around right before the election. We learned that there was a lawsuit back in, what was it, the 70s about something related to that. So starting 2 years in advance could be a good idea. And we discussed having community education and listening sessions, things like that. So we've all now had a week to think about it and ponder the different ideas. So I'll just open it up for discussion and see what people think.
I did miss last week's meeting. Is there any way you can give me just kind of a general rundown of the points that we came to?
Yes, I'm having a little trouble with my mic here, but yeah, no problem. Let's see, trying to remember. We don't have the minutes, but I'll just off the top of my head, and please feel free to chime in if I miss anything here. But we got a history lesson. I think we received that via email. So we got like a nice history lesson where we learned about all the way back to like the 30s it was really interesting. And we learned about, you know, the wards used to be, you know, just a few thousand people per ward. And now we have, you know, 10 times as many people in each ward. There have been redistricting decisions many times. I forget the number, but generally it hasn't shifted too much. Like Ward 1 has been on the west side for the whole time, but there has been significant shifts. Let's see, we learned about, like I mentioned, there was a lawsuit where people thought that that the redistricting proposal was going to kind of disenfranchise a lot of people from the primary election that was upcoming. And so what was the outcome? They reversed that and said that something about voting age population. Does anyone remember that? It was like they wanted to do it based on the number of registered voters, but instead the judge ruled, I think, that it had to be based on number of just people, not necessarily if they were registered. And then we looked at the map of registered versus just people, and there were some wards that had lower rates of registered voters. So that was one thought we had, is possibly considering that in our recommendation. But there's, I'm not sure we came to a solid conclusion on that, but just something that we noted. Let's see, we discussed kind of timelines, right? And that's what I mentioned before about maybe starting in an even numbered year. To be clear, no decisions were made. We didn't vote on anything. This was just kind of brainstorming and some level of consensus, but we can certainly hash that out today if people have different thoughts. We thought about having, each city council member could appoint a couple of people, so it's not just, you know, seven people, and then they would go out into the community and have kind of like, again, we haven't hashed out any details here, but some sort of combination of community education to explain the concept of packing and rough proportionality, things like that, but then also have listening sessions where they, you know, hear what the community values, because there's a kind of a different people use the word dilution and packing differently. Like if you're thinking of it on a local neighborhood scale, you know, moving people out of one ward into another could be seen as like diluting the vote of that group by splitting them among two wards instead of having them maintain a base of power in one ward. But then on the other hand, if you look at it from a citywide perspective, you know, having three majority minority wards would be, you know, reducing the amount of packing instead of increasing it, and reducing the amount of dilution rather. So both sides kind of use that term to mean sort of opposite things. So this is one of the things that could be discussed in these community sessions, like, you know, how many people are thinking of it in terms of neighborhood power and how many people are thinking of it in terms of citywide power, and just kind of, you know, education and listening about that, those two different kind of perspectives and scales. What else did we talk about? I feel like there was a little bit more, but I think that was the basic gist. Thank you. So I think the decisions we need to make today are when to start. I think it seems like we all agree that it should start a lot earlier. This year and in 2022, we started just a few months before the deadline. And, you know, please speak up if you feel differently, but I think it seems like we all agree that that's not enough time. And it should be, last time we actually suggested in our letter that it should start, I forget the wording, I think it was as early as legally allowed, which I think could have been any time, really. And we were talking about maybe starting in January of the redistricting year. Obviously, that didn't happen, and we started in August. But we can reiterate and strengthen that piece of our recommendation this time. And just kind of laying out any possible contours of the process, you know, as far as community education, listening sessions, how many people the council, each council member could appoint. To be clear, this is all just a recommendation. They can and will do what they want, but I think they value our opinion. So also remember, this is 4 years from now, or if we start early, you know, a bit sooner than that, but things could change between now and then, so there will be new information that we don't necessarily know right now, as far as not only population shifts, but some members of the council could be different in 4 years, so hard to know what that'll look like. So I think that's kind of the goal for today. So maybe we should just, I don't want to talk too much, right? If anyone has ideas on their mind, please speak up. But one thing we should hash out is like when to start, when to recommend they start. Would it be, you know, say January 2026? Or we also talked about maybe like a not a redistricting advisory committee that runs for 2 years. That might be kind of long, but maybe a different body that meets annually or every 6 months or every quarter, whatever it may be. There's one other thing I remembered just now. We talked about not having it be the official redistricting advisory committee.
That's my question.
Yeah, because there's restrictions on what we can do as far as communicating with the public and even with ourselves, you know, all the quorum rules and stuff. And then when we have call to the audience, like, we're not supposed to really respond or answer to them, to what they say. But I think, you know, we might want to have a body that is allowed and encouraged to actively communicate back and forth with the public. And so that probably shouldn't be the RAC. So it could,
yeah, that was a question I had. I listed from what you said, and I recall four things will go into our letter, but one of them I was unclear. First is that we will say that we're not recommending any redistricting. That it's not necessary, and we agree with council and that it's not needed to do that. Second, it was the start in 2026. The third one is that exactly the point you just made, that maybe a task force is the one that is charged 26-27 for a period of 2 years to do community education, community listening, community study. And the fourth one was to resource whatever city department or office is going to lead that task force so that they have a budget for study, for speakers, for community sessions, and someone to support that work administratively. So those were the four points. What I was not clear was, does the task force, which we can talk about hopefully about the composition, then at some point it ends, and in 28, the RAC gets reappointed, but it's appointed earlier, also in the year as a sort of a continuity. Okay, so that would be actually five then. No redistricting, 2026, task force, transition to RAC in 28, and then the resourcing request.
Thank you so much for that list. I totally agree, and that's a helpful way of framing it. So one of those, the first one, is I think the one thing we've actually voted on so far, not last week, but the week before, which was that we will not be recommending redistricting per the recommendation of the city attorney and the city council. So I think we don't need to vote again on that. We can just, that should probably be like the beginning of the letter. So I'm glad you brought that up. That should probably be the first paragraph. So then let's just go through the rest of that list, I guess. But first, yeah, any other?
Yeah, I'd like to maybe possibly add a database on the population of each ward at the time, and then anticipation of growth. You know, we don't know how much, but there is going to be growth, and hopefully they take that into consideration as well. Provide the data prior so the folks can have something to work with.
That's right. We talked about some sort of public portal of updated that data tracking to the extent that the public can see some trends, not granular, because that's not possible.
Mm-hmm. to include maps as well.
Maps.
I think, you know,
yeah.
If you have a visual, you can make the connection as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how feasible it is to make a tool that where the public could kind of create their own maps, but I remember in the history lesson that we got last time, we learned that a member of the public had come up with his own map that would have done the same, that would have accomplished the same reduction in the MPD with only 1/7 as much population moving around. And then we learned that was a former city council member, and that may be how he kind of knew how to do that and how he had the tools for it. It would be nice if we could have a system where people who weren't in the exclusive club of current and former city council members could come up with that. I don't know what the resources required would be for that. It might be to build some kind of website, like create your own districts kind of thing might be a tall order, but we could put that in the letter if we want to, or something approaching that. Maybe not a full like drag and drop tool, but just some form of public information so that people are capable of thinking through their own ideas. I mean, we can put anything we want in this letter, right? So it can't hurt to ask, and then they can decide if it's reasonable.
I think it's also crucial that we get youth involved, you know, and at least they have some kind of input or say so, or even on the decision making. It would be nice to have somebody younger, and you know, and you might want to put it out to the colleges and the high school to see if there's any takers, any volunteers that would like to participate in something like this.
Yeah, I like that idea. Let's see. I guess everyone who has ideas like this, please write them down, because I'm not going to be able to remember every single comment that's made. So like that one, make a little list, jot down somewhere so that when we start having our votes, we can remember to address each point. So I guess one thing to work on next could be the timeline, right? I think I like Dr. Alvarez's idea of starting in 2026, but then come 2028, the task force ends. And I know that's not exactly what you said, but one way of doing that is that the task force could end and the RAC would begin. I suppose they could both run in parallel too. I haven't really thought much about that, but to me, I think the RAC should probably start more towards the beginning of the year. Because that's when you get official public hearings and city notifications of, you know, it just gets more on the radar, right? Like the task force will be operating in a somewhat outside of the typical like city board infrastructure. So people might start kind of tuning in more once the RAC officially begins. So maybe like January would be my suggestion. And of course, they wouldn't have to meet weekly. If you start in January, you could probably meet maybe monthly or something like that for a while. So how do people feel about that timeline? Like a task force for 2026 and 2027, then the task force is assigned to write up all their conclusions and findings by the end of 2027 and present that to both mayor and council and the RAC, which would start in January, something like that. Just brainstorming here.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. I do agree that the task force should be run like separately from the RAC so they could be able to operate outside of normal RAC limits. And I do think we should start earlier, like January. I think the earlier, the better.
Yeah. Thank you. I agree. Yeah.
We had also mentioned the maybe possibility of reaching out to neighborhood associations.
Yeah.
We could have some input from them as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's write these down.
Yeah, I think that should be something that the proposed task force is in charge of, going to neighborhood associations. I like how you said possibly going to high schools, colleges like that, getting the youth involved, and then obviously collecting data and information.
Madam Clerk, I also think in the letter, in the intro, there should be an acknowledgement of some of the points we made from last week. There were many, but at least the one about there seemed to be some confusion and the use of certain terminology. And rather than tell people you're wrong, kind of explore the different ways in which words like dilution, packing can be perceived. as a form of empowerment. Just an acknowledgement in the general intro of the memo that should say that we have considered both the experience of 2022 and the sentiments of the public of loyalty and trust about their communities, but at the same time, larger considerations of political analysis, really, of minorities that reflect citywide, statewide, and even national standards related to representation, rough proportionality. So that I'm just using all these words so that they get on the record for the city clerk to be able to write an intro paragraph that says it's based on those, that sentiment that we're recommending this process of education inclusiveness. Yeah.
And I think before we go too far, I want to ask the city staff to please jump in if anything we're saying sounds like it would be a problem, like, oh, you know, you can't start in January, or you can't have a task force that does this or that, or I don't know, any kind of rules that we may be unaware of, please don't hesitate to jump in.
Mr. Chair. Task forces, and I see Mr. Rankin's hand is up. Task forces are still public meetings, and so there will be some constraints, but they won't be, I think you're asking for the type of public meeting where they can have back and forth with the public on getting their ideas and their input. The other thing I wanted to tell you is that we will write an, I don't want to say we will write, but we'll compose the introductory paragraph based on what you just said and submit it to you for your edits and approval.
Thank you. And let's call on Mr. Rankin. He has his hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, just to follow up on what the city clerk was saying. The issue with a task force versus a formal board committee and commission, the limitations flow from the Arizona statutes on open meeting laws. And if the task force in question serves to be advisory to the mayor and council and make recommendations to the mayor and council, and if they're appointed by the mayor and council, the fact that they're called a task force versus a commission or a committee or board wouldn't change the fact that the open meeting laws would apply to them. So, but a couple of things can be done to accomplish what I think is the recommendation that's forming here at the table. There can be a task force that is not subject to the open meeting. So for example, the city manager can put together a task force that's just provides recommendations to the manager as opposed to the mayor and council, and the manager appoints the members of that task force, and then open meeting laws wouldn't always apply. But at the same time, what I think the recommendation that I'm hearing really is, you still want the task force to have meetings that are open to the public. That's the whole point, right? To get the public input and the public feedback, but you would want the task force meetings to be structured a little more loosely, such that there's back and forth. It's more like a town hall type of back and forth experience. So I think the goals of what you're suggesting with respect to the task force are achievable. As far as the dates you're talking about, the either the next RAC or a task force that is formed based on the recommendations could begin well in advance of the potential redistricting year, which, as you all know, is 2028. The code as it currently reads contemplates that it wouldn't be any earlier than the same year. So January, for example, of 2028 for the 2028 RAC to start. But don't on that, because the code can be changed. So for example, if the 2024 RAC, if you all make a recommendation that would require a change to the code, that's fine because the mayor and council can change the code. What they can't change is the charter. But the structure of the redistricting committee itself is dictated by the code far more so than the charter. So don't limit yourself in your recommendations, but just understand that some of them might also require code changes if they're adopted.
Great. Thank you very much. That's very helpful. So it sounds like we would not even have to change the code if we started the RAC in January 2028. If we want to go earlier than that, we would have to change the code, but that's not such a big deal. And the task force could be anytime we want. I guess we should talk about like who would appoint people to the task force. It sounds like if the mayor and council make the appointments, then that would cause some restrictions on having a town hall style meeting with the public. Whereas if the city manager appoints the entire task force, then you wouldn't have that restriction, but then it's possible that you'd have less variety in the people that were chosen. I don't know, but you know, if you have seven people choosing, then you have, you know, that you have people from each ward whose interests are represented. Not to say that the city manager wouldn't do that, but it's just he would have to intentionally endeavor to do that. It wouldn't just kind of happen automatically. So I guess that's something that we should consider. So it sounds like having the city council appoint the task force is not really an option, because then that sort of defeats the purpose of the task force.
I can see both sides. I like the idea of the city manager appointing a citizens task force. City manager has oversight that is override some of the political divisions, meaning service, for example, to the city, service orientation of, you know, streets and housing codes, all of those things, right, are managed. I can see that being an advantage in isolating the task force from a little bit of the political, not that we are here, us, the RAC, we're beholden to whoever appointed us. But there is that perception, I think, perhaps in the public, that, and that may be helpful. We can just say that the managers should do it in a way that is the broadest possible representation of the city and stakeholders. But I can see that as an advantage.
I agree with that. I think it would be smart to kind of mold this task force in the way that Mr. Rankin was saying, a group that is picked by the city manager and kind of ran to the manager and then reports back to the manager, and the manager reports to the council. I think that would be a helpful, very useful. So I think that's how we should kind of look to create this task force in that sphere.
So are there any alternatives? It sounds like maybe this is our only choice. I guess if we can ask Mr. Rankin a question, as far as setting up these kind of town hall style meetings where we can go back and forth with the public, it sounds like having the city council directly appoint people is not really an option. Having the city manager appoint people is an option. Are there any other alternatives, or is that kind of the only choice?
I think those are the choices. The fact is that the limiting factor is when you create an official public body, which is one created by the mayor and council that reports to the mayor and council, then not only do you have the quorum requirements and the notice requirements, But you have your agenda requirements like you're all experiencing here, right? And so what happens there is if you have a meeting and you're eliciting comments from the public and somebody brings up something that's not on the agenda, then the committee itself or the board can't respond to it because it's not on the agenda. And that would be a violation of the open meeting law. And so that's where it gets kind of, you know, restricted in a way. At the same time, a formal board and committee can have a pretty broad ranging public, you know, public hearing or public comment and can at least receive all the information. It's just that back and forth that gets to be hard.
Okay, thank you. Is there a precedent for this? I mean, I'm sure there is, you know, some kind of joint city education / listening sessions kind of back and forth. Has that happened recently with some other topic besides redistricting?
I can think of a few examples. You know, the city manager's office for a long time has had a task force on certain real estate and development issues, and it doesn't report to the mayor and council, but it does provide information to the city manager. Also, when the city goes through the revision of its general plan, which will be coming to the voters in a few years as well, and that's the overall general plan for the city of Tucson about where development should occur and where infrastructure is needed and general policies that the city tries to follow. Then there is a very aggressive public outreach and engagement period in advance of that. That's conducted by staff rather than by appointed individual members that would be a board and committee, because that type of back and forth interaction would be next to impossible if it was subject to open meeting law.
Okay. So is that another alternative then, is to just have staff do this, right? Like I think I'm hearing that's a potential alternative to the city manager appointing a task force would be for each city council member's staff to do this. And then they would, I'm not sure exactly how that would be structured, but it sounds like that's another possible option.
Individual council offices and council members are always free to do their own, town halls and get information. And they frequently do that in connection with, issues of broad community interest.
Okay. Yeah. And since our letter here is just a recommendation to mayor and council, we could just recommend that they do that.
But we were talking about the task force handling the education part of it. And does that mean that the city council staff would also be then handling the education portion of the task force?
I suppose it would, yeah. I believe that is within the capabilities of the city staff, correct? Is that, I don't know if that would be like a council member by council member thing or
Thank you.
Go ahead. Oh, did you have your hand up?
Thank you.
I wasn't sure if you're talking to me or not.
Okay.
Yeah, the way I would envision that is one thing that's really important if there's going to be public education is you want it to be consistent, right? So you wouldn't want sort of a different education occurring in Ward 2 versus Ward 4. So what I would suggest to you all is, as part of your recommendation, focus on what it is that you want to be accomplished more so than how mechanically it's done. So in other words, you want there to be a process that begins in 2026 that includes public education, public feedback, et cetera. To include, involving the youth and high schools and college and what other components. But without some of the strict limitations of open meeting law, whether that be by a manager task force or individual council office, town halls, or city staff-led public education. That way you're leaving it open. You're saying this is what we want to occur. Now you guys go figure out how to do it.
Yeah,
I agree. Thank you for that. I think that is a better solution because the mayor and council will know the best way to accomplish that at the time. And that's going to be a better process than us just kind of asking Mr. Rankin a million questions and trying to hash it out right here. So thank you very much.
I like that.
One of the things that I recommended was having the neighborhood associations involved. And the reason being is they always have a staff member there. And it could be presented as an informational item, which is part of their agenda. And that would cover trying to accomplish as well.
And I also want to make sure that whatever reports or findings are generated be made available to the RAC. You know, as soon as that starts, ideally in January.
As part of our recommendation, is there any recommendation from us to secure funding for this type of project? I mean, now I'm not talking like dollars, but saying like something like we want to make sure that we allocate funding.
I guess my thought is that would depend on the method that the mayor and council choose. If they need to hire a consultant, or if they just want to get people to do it as a volunteer capacity, like we're all doing. I guess my thought is that if we take Mr. Rankin's advice and just kind of tell them what we want to see happen and let them figure out how to do it, that would probably be included in that.
I think we should have, as part of our letter, just one or two sentences that says, and this process needs to be properly funded so that it can have the development of, you know, materials and staff time to create slide decks, arrange the, you know, I think it goes without saying, but on the other hand, sometimes I think we missed opportunities when a broad education campaign requires some resources to get people to a meeting, to maybe get a facilitator some time. Yeah. So we don't have to tell them how much or when or how, but a statement that speaks about, and this should be funded properly to accomplish this educational listening. And yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Vanessa, how do you feel about that idea?
Oh yeah, that's great. I totally support that. Thank you.
I agree as well. Yeah. Just kind of emphasize that there should be proper funding, but not necessarily dictate like exactly how to set that.
Whether it's the word funding or proper investment, because we know that whichever way this is the broader investment, our community to be educated on this, right?
Yeah. No, I like the word investment. That's good. So a question for staff, like, do I need to make a motion, or does someone need to make a motion that lists all these things we want in the letter as one giant motion at the end here, or what's the cleanest way to do this?
I think if you give us the list, we'll, like I said, draft the recommendation, and that's when you will make your motion. You'll tell us what edits you need and make the motion to approve.
Okay, so we don't really need a lot. Yeah, we don't necessarily need a formal motion today. I mean, we probably should still have one, but the motion could just be a bullet point list of things.
Or it could be to direct the city clerk to draft a recommendation based on your bullet point list.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that works. So what I have so far is have some form of outreach beginning in 2026 and extending through the end of 2027 that engages in a two-way communication that includes both community education on the concepts of dilution and the current percentage of minorities in Tucson and all that kind of stuff, as well as the other direction, like listening to what the public wants and prioritizes in a way that does not violate open meeting law, which may require a city manager appointed task force or city staff taking that initiative. So that's kind of one bullet I have so far. Two would be at the end of 2027, prepare a report that would be delivered to the RAC, which would start at the beginning of 2028. Then another bullet point is to ensure that this process has proper investment. And I'm happy to wordsmith that. That's just the bullet point I have. And then also ensuring that the neighborhood associations are notified and actively consulted about this process to ensure that they have a voice and that they're aware that this is happening and have every chance to participate. That's all I have so far, but I haven't been writing down every word. Have I missed anything?
I think we still need to address then how you're going to do the outreach for the areas that don't have neighborhood associations.
Good point. Yeah. I mean, I guess I would say that should be left to whoever is running this, whether it is the city staff or the appointed task force. So we should just ask them to make sure they find a way to do that. It's not quite as easy, but it's certainly possible. They can announce it via other channels.
I think if we use the language that is more as inclusive as possible, as broad as possible, inclusive of neighborhood associations, community organizations, and other stakeholders, something like that, then that gives them the general mandate.
Yeah, I think the neighborhood associations, like there's a newsletter or some direct form of communication that that the city has with them. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but so we should specifically ask that they use that channel as well as any other channels available to them to get it out beyond just the neighborhood associations. Yeah, very good point. Am I missing anything aside from those four major points? Sorry? Yeah, I do have that proper investment.
I think that Mr. Jaramillo's point about the database tracking and the visuals, if we want, we should make that a separate point of like, regardless of whether there's a task force or not, the city should be directed to make that information updated and more visible and accessible on the city clerk's webpage or something like that. I think it's stands by itself, that point.
Yeah, I agree. I just added that. And I'm not quite sure how to do this, but
we don't have to figure out how to do it.
No, I mean, I'm not quite sure how to. No, you're right. Yeah, we don't have to make our jobs excessively complicated here. But no, that's a good point. But I think like one of the central problems we ran into last time in 2022 was that we wanted to do rough proportionality. We tried to do it and discovered that it was massively disruptive and would be really, really complicated. So I think including in the education some, like showing what the maps would have to look like to achieve that goal, or just just getting that idea out there. Like, hey, look, you might, this sounds like a great idea. We want to try to do this. It's in the city code. We, you know, are going to try to do it, but, you know, just be aware it comes with this cost. And, you know, if you, the public, wants to help think of clever ideas, you know, play with our maps and data tools that we're making available to you. You know, we'd love your suggestions. And then also just feedback on whether this is something we want to do. Maybe people would look at the map and say, you know what, we've got years to figure this out. Yeah, let's move towards that. It'll be a bit disruptive, but, you know, it achieves a greater goal. Or maybe people will say, you know what, there's no clean way to do this. Let's figure out other possible ways to address dilution. I don't know exactly what people would think. I just want to make sure that it's clear, like, what we're proposing and how you would have to achieve that. Because I think that blindsided both the public and us in 2022. I don't think we quite realized how hard that was going to be. I'm not even completely sure that mayor and council realized how hard that was going to be when they put that in the city code in 2022, right before the RAC started. It's not, I don't really know one way or the other, but it seems plausible, at least, that they thought that would end up being a little bit easier to do than it turned out to be.
Yeah, I think if the clerk's draft letter could reference this point that Ed makes about, there's something a little difficult about the task of the RAC, meaning that it's a very technical assignment. It's almost like arithmetic. And that's what happened. If we do the rough personality, then you ended up shooting yourself in the foot because you couldn't then balance the population equality across the district because you were taking population from one to the other. So it ended up being one of those things where it's so technical, but then you have the emotional and the perception. So it is because of that reason, I think we should make a reference to the point that it has to be a broad education so that the public itself understands the benefits of what the goals are of those council members, you know, what the goals that they set out. Mm-hmm. Short of the public embracing those goals, they're not likely to then tax themselves, so to speak, and say, okay, I get it. Rough proportionality matters to me so much that I'm willing then to make this compromise because I see the value. Mm-hmm. Short of that, it was a totally dead end. And we were cross speaking. Totally, and I know that we won't get into the polemics of that in the letter, but just to explain for the record and for those who will be hearing 26 and 28, that's almost like an impossible dilemma because you have to end up then being the bad guy because mathematically just cannot happen any other way.
Yeah, I think we as a city need to decide how much we want to try to do this, right? If we as a city decide this principle of rough proportionality is extremely important and we want to do what it takes to get there, then that's great. Let's do that. If we decide, you know, oh, well, it sounds great in theory, but it turns out to be, you know, have a major cost, then maybe we don't want to do it. I don't know, but I want to try to resolve the tension there. Like we have this list of goals in our binder, and most of them are fairly easy to achieve. Well, not easy, but it's like a clear path to achieving it. And then there's just this one that was recently changed to be ranked as a higher priority because of the changes right before this committee to the language, but still no acknowledgement of how difficult that is. I think they changed it. They changed the language to prioritize rough proportionality higher than minimizing disruption. But like, there wasn't, is that what we want to do as a city? Like, do we want to, that's right, like the people might care about minimizing disruption, right? So like, let's do this all out in the open and make sure that we as a city are aligned on the goal here. I don't want to have it be this, you know, last time people were yelling at us because we were trying to like ram things through quickly under their nose and things like that. And I think the goal of this whole thing, you know, starting 2 years early, is to precisely prevent that complaint and make it all very transparent. So I think we need to.
To that point, Ed, I think the other issue we brought up is speaking to Trent's question. All of the other ones have metrics, but when it comes to rough proportionality, we remain in the rhetorical. Like, it would be nice to have rough proportionality, which is like, yeah, like, what is that? The other ones have a metric. Oh, the numbers should be equal. The 10%, you know, all of that. Rough proportionality, it should be explicitly stated that what that means is that the city of Tucson should have three districts that are majority minority.
Yeah, well,
if that's a metric, then that becomes a metric that people, I think the vagueness of the concepts is what led us into like, what are we really saying here? And people didn't understand that language. It's sort of legalistic language, rough proportionality. It's like,
so. Yeah. And the other ones don't all have metrics either. Like, what does minimizing disruption mean, right? We have a judgment of minimizing the number of people who are furious, right? But that's not like a number, right? We just have a sense of it. But I don't know. I'm nervous about this becoming a situation where it's like, here's one goal, and we just want to plow through and regardless of disruption. Like, I don't think we... You could say let me put it this way. You could say that we want to somewhat deprioritize the minimization of disruption as a principle of like disrupting ward boundaries. That's something we as a city could certainly choose to deprioritize. But if you think of disruption in a sense of like community outrage, you know, that's probably not something we should deprioritize, in my opinion. And to be clear, that's not the change that was made is not saying ignore people being mad. That's not what it says. It deprioritized, relatively speaking, the importance of minimizing the disruption of existing ward boundaries. So that's fine, except that that actually correlates really strongly with people being angry. So that's where it gets tricky. And hopefully this process over the, you know, this 3 year period that we're talking about here could help clarify what the city really wants its goals to be and what the people kind of have the stomach for.
And one thing that I'd like to recommend to be part of the agenda there is to include the history as we were given earlier this month. And I think that's important because if people know the history of it, they can rationalize why we're doing this and how it was done in the past and to what we're wanting to accomplish today. Thank you.
I like that idea, adding it to the list.
I think that a reference in our letter to the education process, what we're calling education community engagement process, part of the goal should be to really unpack the meaning of all these words at a level that the community can understand it. Because when you read number two, city policy objectives says, for example, this is just an example, maintain, establish, and recognizable war boundaries with a minimum of disruption, comma, except as may be necessary to achieve the other factors and objectives. So it's already deprioritized right. if it impedes the preference to. And on the other hand,
change I was referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the other hand, maintaining established and recognizable war boundaries, and I think I've been on the record already like three times saying this, I understood that there were some recognizable war boundaries that were too much for a community to stomach that had to do with major landmarks, like a freeway or a park or something like that. Well, that's an important notion of recognizable. Do I recognize myself in that war? No, you are not. On the other hand, when that same line was used to say, we're not really talking about the landmarks that are offensive to you, the freeway, the park, the train tracks. We're talking about that street versus that street that are contiguous. People were then coming back and saying, wow, look at you violating your own rules. And we were like, no, it's still very recognizable as your ward. We just are, you know, three streets over. So I think that nuance is both a learning of the RAC and of the process that a community has the right to say, no, if you're asking us to be recognizable, then that means, you know, the rodeo grounds have to be on five, you know? Don't put them on one, you know? But if we're talking about that street versus that street versus that precinct at that level of micro geography, then the message is clear. Then we have to then deprioritize that in the benefit of the other. And again, how do you actually get to a place where people have been involved enough to discuss these terms with these nuances before the decision is made, so that at a minimum, you can point to the discussions and say, remember when we talked about that, remember when this was explained. But I think on the other side, there's a learning that recognizable has to be recognizable to the people who live there. But that doesn't mean it's absolute. And I think that was what made this process so. We didn't have time to have those conversations because what that requires is total democratic deliberation. It's like you're not ever going to agree on it 100%. But there are guidelines there. But if you have to push it in a compressed time, then it's impossible. So we said all of that last week, and I'm just bringing it back to maybe reflect on the record a sentence or two in the letter that says, these are the types of dilemmas that have to be teased out for through a longer process of what, 30, you know, 24, 35 months.
Dr. Alvarez, could you remind me of the five, the outline you had for what we need in our letter? I want to see which ones I'm missing here.
The first one, no redistricting.
Yes.
2026 task force. 26 to 2027, 2028, start early, RAC. The next one was about investment or resourcing or budgeting that process. And the last one I had was some sort of accessible database tracking and visuals.
Okay, thank you very much. One other thing I'd like to include is the actual, the rough proportionality principle states that, you know, the number of wards that are majority minority should be roughly proportional to the percent of Tucson's voting age population that is minority. And that number was not included in our initial binder. And there was even some misunderstanding of what that number was at our previous meeting. It was, you know, it's that Tucson is not a majority minority city at this time. It could become that in the maybe by 2028, although I would be surprised. That would be a pretty major shift, but at some point that could certainly happen. But the principle of rep proportionality is specifically tied to that exact number. And so I think every time we talk about rep proportionality, that number should be attached so that the public like knows what the proportion should be, right? It's 42.2% right now. That could change in the coming years, but what that means is that 42% of our wards should be majority, is that roughly 42% of our wards should be majority minority. Of course, we only have six, so you can't have the numbers be that precise, but you know, what that means is that we should have two or three, and we have two. So we're like undershooting. So that would, you know, you could make a third majority minority ward. I just want to make sure that number is included in the public outreach so people can like figure out what rough proportionality actually means. Okay, so are there, I think we have a pretty good list of what we want in the letter. Are there any other things that are on anyone's mind? Okay, so we're getting close to time to make a motion here. I'm not quite ready to do that because I do want to just go through the bullets again and make sure we're on the same page. Let me just read my list real quick, and people can please chime in if you kind of disagree with the sort of consensus that we've been having here, or if you want to change or anything like that. So one, I have find a way to do this without violating open meeting law, whether that's the city staff doing town halls, or if it's a city manager appointed task force doing town halls and making sure that we can do it back and forth. So I'll call that number one. Number two, I guess I don't really have these in a clear order, but notify all the neighborhood associations as well as every effort possible to include people that are not in neighborhood associations, but just try to make this as inclusive of a process as possible. So I'll call that number two. Number three, this is sort of out of order. Maybe number one should be this, but start in 2026 and end at the end of 2027. Just trying to figure out the proper order here on the fly. Number four would be make your findings available to the RAC, which number five should start in January 2028, if possible. Number six, let's say, is make sure that we invest properly in this initiative from 2026 to 2027. I guess that should go higher in the order since it relates not to the RAC, but to the pre-RAC committee. So shifting the order around. Number seven, include a discussion of what would actually be, no, number seven should be include the minority, the current voting age minority percent. Whenever you talk about rough proportionality, include that number to make it clear what the goal should be. Number eight is one kind of In addition to that, when you're talking about rep proportionality, make it clear what it would take to achieve that goal. Maybe put a sample map in there that would show like the number of people that would need to be moved, something like that. So that people have a sense of the, you know, both the goal, the principle of rep proportionality, the numbers behind it of what it would take to get there, and then the maps to show what it would actually look like to achieve that goal. So now if we have those three items as a package, we have, I would say, a pretty clear picture of what that is, what it would entail, and now we can rationally evaluate the prioritization there. Number nine is to include maps and data, which we don't have a super clear guideline for what exactly that should look like. We could try to flesh that out, or we could just tell the mayor and council to do the best they can. Yeah.
Include the history piece.
That was number 10, yes. Include the history of, yeah, kind of the lesson we got last week. I guess to me that's a bit distinct from, well, you're right. I mean, that is some of the maps, but I was thinking for the public data, it would be some way of playing with the current map.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually trying to do this myself with the data we had given to us, with those Excel sheets we got. Trying to see if I could create like a little build your own map kind of tool. I didn't really have time to flesh it out. I do think it is possible. It gets a bit tricky in terms of when you're splitting precincts, right? Like the data we have in at least that spreadsheet is the whole precinct. So if the precinct is split between two wards, at least from that data, there's no clear way to divvy that up. However, the city software obviously is capable of handling that. I don't know how difficult it would be to make that info available. But it'd be great if we could say, look, here's what it would take to achieve rough proportionality. Let's crowdsource this. Do you guys have any other like good ways to do it, right? Because last time, the way we did it was just asking staff to come up with ways, and they did a really great job. But you know, maybe if we're asking the public to decide how much to prioritize this, it might be good to give them the tools to play with it themselves. So I think we should put that in as a kind of optional suggestion, right? If that turns out to be too heavy of a data lift to build that, you know, that's understandable. But, you know, if the city decided they wanted to like have someone work on that as a project for a couple months, I think it's probably doable. So that's the 10 things on my list. I guess number zero is no redistricting this year. So 11 things. So any thoughts on any of that or the order?
Yeah, I think that's a great list. I just suggest that we make some sort of proposal that could possibly be added into the bullet point of reaching out to and communicating better with neighborhood associations, trying to make an effort to reach out to the youth, particularly college students. I would say high school students, but I don't think it's very likely that many high school students would get involved. But I do think there is a base with college students, and I think it could be very helpful and advantageous moving on.
Absolutely. Good point. I forgot to write that one down, but I totally agree. So I'll include that in number three, which is notifying the neighborhood associations, but also any other possible channels to be as inclusive as possible. And then we'll say also reach out to the youth at the university and elsewhere. Yeah, because I could see some students like getting you know into the tool and building some maps, maybe doing even like some kind of senior thesis type of thing on that kind of that would be fun. All right, so we have a list of 11 things. So let's see. It seems like we're all, last call for any different thoughts on any of that, or, you know, I don't want to just say it and assume that we all completely agree with every word I'm saying here. So this would be a good time if you feel differently on any of that.
Yeah, I think we should move forward with that.
Yeah. Okay, so staff, what is the best way to convert this list into a letter that you've written? I hope it looks like it's transcribing everything I'm saying, but should I read it again in a proper order now that we've decided, or do you kind of have what
you need? Mr. Chair, that's up to you if you want to read it over in the proper order, and we'll have it transcribed one more time. We will use the transcript to determine the order and some of the wording that is recommended to be included.
Okay. I will say it all again because we've kind of tweaked the order and added a couple bits. Just give me one moment to decide if this order makes sense, because I was just making that up as I went. So in the meantime, if anyone has thoughts on that, please don't hesitate. And you can use your judgment on the order. Like if you find that the paragraphs flow better by switching this, you know, I don't think this order is really critical. I think the only piece of the order that seems important is to have the very beginning talking about how we're not going to do redistricting this year, because that's the single most important piece of information that they would need to glean as far as their immediate next steps. Okay, I'm just going to flip two items in the order, again, this order is not super critical. Okay, so I'm going to speak right into the mic, and so hopefully this will be nicely transcribed. And we don't need this to be a motion. This is just us telling you our consensus, and then next week we'll do the motion.
We don't require a motion. However, if you're more comfortable doing that after you go through the list, you can ask for a motion to approve the list as you've just stated it, and we will use that to create the recommendation.
I guess we should do that. Why not? Just to that won't be too cumbersome. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read the list. So here's the list of items we would like to include in our recommendation to mayor and council. Number one, we will not be recommending any redistricting this year, per the recommendation of the city attorney, because we have confirmed that the MPD is comfortably below the 10% threshold. Number two, we recommend creating either a task force appointed by the city manager or a series of town halls run by the city staff that will, with the goal of having a back and forth with the community, such that we can do education on topics including rough proportionality and dilution and other related topics, as well as listening sessions, so that we can both educate the public and hear what they want to prioritize at the same time. this is preferable to starting the redistricting advisory committee early, because the redistricting advisory committee is limited by certain principles of open meeting law that make a back and forth essentially impossible. Number three, we strongly suggest that this process begin well in advance of the 2028 redistricting, specifically 2026. We propose that this task force or series of town halls begin in 2026 and go through the end of 2027. So there's plenty of time. No one feels rushed. Number four. I'm going to change the order here. Number four, make the findings of this task force or a series of town halls available to the redistricting advisory by the end of 2027. Number five, we recommend that the redistricting advisory committee be started in January of 2028, so that there's plenty of time for them to make their deliberations using the all the tools at our current disposal, as well as the findings from the task force and the town halls. Number six, thank you. During the process of the task force and or town halls, please notify all of the neighborhood associations via the normal channels of communication that the city has with neighborhood associations. Additionally, strive to be as inclusive as possible with the outreach and participation of these education and listening sessions, being mindful to try to include people who are not in neighborhood associations, and also striving to include the youth, for example, at the university. Number seven, please ensure that this effort is has a proper investment and funding. Number eight, when engaging in community education about the principle of rough proportionality and dilution, please include the current voting age minority percentage in the city of Tucson, because the rough proportionality principle is specifically based on that one single number. And we want to make sure that number, which is currently 42.2%, but may well change in 2026, 2027, 2028. We want to make sure that updated number is included in the materials that are presented to the public. Number nine, which is sort of adding on to the previous one, include a discussion of what it would actually take to achieve rough proportionality, namely a map of, or a couple of sample maps of how we could get there. And please include a figure showing the number of people that would need to be moved from one ward to another in order to achieve rough proportionality. The goal here is to make it clear what it would take to achieve this goal, and so the public can be adequately informed on what it would take to get there and how to prioritize accordingly. Number, I think, 9, 10, thank you. We recommend including public information, including, okay, hang on. So we want to include, let me go back to, so number 10, please include the history lesson that we received at the meeting last week in the public materials. I think it's fantastic information, and it would be great if that were available to the public, not only for context, but also to get a sense of what, you know, what this could look like, what the maps could look like going forward. Number 11, and I believe this is the final one, if at all possible, please include a public tool and data for people to try to make their own maps, or at least get a sense of which precincts have which minority percentages, so that they can kind of play with it themselves and figure out, you know, oh, if my precinct moves, you know, what would that help us achieve rep proportionality? Would it make the dilution even worse, et cetera? Ideally, this would include a tool that allows people to kind of create their own maps via a web application. But you know, if that proves to be too logistically complicated because of precincts being split or other matters, you know, just get as close to that as possible. Just make sure that the public has as much data as we're able to provide, and they're able to be, you know, properly equipped to make suggestions in the community listening sessions. Okay, that's it. So I would like to propose that someone please make a motion to include those 11 items in our letter to mayor and council. Someone can just say so moved.
So moved.
Thank you. We have a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much, everybody. All right, and there's still no one for call to the audience, so we can skip that again. Future agenda items. Do we need a call to the audience next time? I would say it's kind of a little bit too late. You want to include it? Okay, it's fine with me. Yeah, it doesn't hurt. But, you know, it could potentially be too late to make major changes if the community has significant feedback, which seems not extremely likely, but certainly possible. Future agenda items aside from call to the audience is just one thing, which is review the letter and make the changes we need, if any, and officially vote to ratify the letter, and then I guess we need to sign it. So that will be our only item after the call of the audience. With that, I will call the meeting to adjournment. Thank you all very much. Thank you so much.